It wasn't always iPhones and self-driving cars.
Before, Silicon Valley was just this town that did one thing, which was sell microchips.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. The astronomer Carl Sagan said, "You have to know the past to understand the present." That's true not just for the cosmos, but also the tech landscape. One person exploring this history is Leslie Berlin, the author of the new book Troublemakers, Silicon Valley's Coming of Age. Leslie, why do you call the book Troublemakers?
Well, this book is about people who kind of had to forge their own way. They saw problems that they wanted to solve that they couldn't do according to the way things were done at the time in the 1970s. They weren't setting out to cause trouble or make problems. To do what they needed to do, they had to find their own way to do it.
And the book covers sort of several periods of time, starting in 1969 and going up until 1984. Why did you choose that period in particular?
The best way I can describe it is, you know how you think about the Beatles and you look at sort of their first album comes out in 1963 and they're still covering sort of Little Richard. And then by 1970, they've broken up. But in those 7 years, they've done this incredible, innovative sort of work that has completely changed not just music, but the entire culture around them. And I really feel like this period from 69 to 84 is the same thing happening in technology. I mean, before, Silicon Valley was just this town that did one thing, which was sell microchips. And by the other end of it, you have video games and personal computers inside people's houses. This is the beginning of when you start to see the tight relationships between Silicon Valley and Washington coming up. You go from Silicon Valley being this completely unknown place to sort of the home of essentially entrepreneurial heroes. I mean, where you have President Reagan calling them the pioneers of tomorrow.
And let's talk about some of those pioneers, because you look at these key figures, some of whom people have heard of course, Steve Jobs, even Mike Markula. But then you highlight people who are less well-known, like Fawn Alvarez. Can you, just as one example, can you tell us who she is and how she changed Silicon Valley?
Yeah, well, Fawn Alvarez, to me, is just an incredible story. She starts as a girl in the book. She's about 12 years old, and she's picking plums near her home in Cupertino, which now, I mean, as we all know, is completely tech central. And she, soon after graduating high school, starts to work on a manufacturing line at Rome, building complex phone systems. And she just keeps rising, pulling herself through the whole way until by the end, she's essentially the chief of staff for the president of IBM Rome. And I think something that's amazing about Fawn's story is that it so tracks what happened in Silicon Valley. I mean, in this one person, you see the development from this orchard land, these agricultural paradise, to a total manufacturing economy, which is what Silicon Valley used to be, to the sort of information economy.
Let's talk about learning from history for a minute. The U.S. is in some ways in the middle of a conversation about how maybe some of these current tech companies are too big. I mean, as you look at sort of this national conversation about Facebook and Google and Amazon, what does the history that you have just gotten done writing about tell you about what might happen to them?
Well, there are a couple things. Something that struck me again and again is how taken by surprise people were by what their ideas turned into. And I think there's a way in which these technologies have been more successful than anyone ever imagined, and it's sort of outrun the planning for them a little bit. All of that said, I think it's important that we be having these conversations. Technology is in our lives in a way it's never been before. It's sort of an intimacy that I think has been wonderful in the connections we've been able to make. And it's also very frightening to a lot of people. And I think that's a conversation we have to be having. I'm starting to hear a lot about, well, is Silicon Valley on the way out? And to that, I just have to say, no. From almost since the beginning of Silicon Valley's history, people have been saying, oh, Silicon Valley's on its last legs. I mean, you start in the late 60s with people saying, oh, all of the engineers now are having to pump gas because it was a recession. And the, you know, the Japanese were going to kill Silicon Valley. The oil crisis was going to kill Silicon Valley. The dot-com bust was going to kill Silicon Valley. And every time the Valley has come back, I expect that's going to happen again. I think that it will come back better when we've started to confront and answer some of these questions that people are having.
Leslie Berlin is author of the new book, Troublemakers, Silicon Valley's Coming of Age. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.